Hello. Yes, this is Mr. Fun. Paul Mack, how you doing, buddy? How's your throat? Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it, Paul. You want me to do your tape this week? Yeah, sure, Paul. No problem. I'm not doing anything. I'll do your tape for you. Yep, yeah, Paul. Right. Okay. Don't worry. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Trust me. Yeah, right, Paul. Right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just take care of yourself. I've never let you down before, have I? Okay, okay. So just relax. Take it easy. I'll talk to you later on. I'll have the tape done for you. Don't worry about it. Okay. Okay. Goodbye, Paul. Yeah, right, Paul. I'll take care of it for you. Okay, gang. This baby is mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moviegoers of America, it's time for another week of fun, listed film.
Wait, that was wrong, right?
You're right.
Can we try that again?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, wait. Paul doesn't pay us enough.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, hi, gang, and welcome to the Movie Line for another week of film-listed fun right here on 761-3330 and 906-3000, a week that'll take us from December 2nd through Thursday the 6th. And as you guests know, this is not Paul Mack. I am Mr. Fun from Telefun, or if you'd like to, you can call me Mr. Fun from Telefun. Some of my callers over on my line usually refer to me, though, as Mr. Fun from Telefun. In fact, my mother even calls me Mr. Fun from Telefun. Oh, man without an identity. Anyway, gang, you've probably been wondering what's happened to Paul with Dave doing a tape last week and me being here this week. Paul's not sick, and he's not watching a movie, and he's not out on vacation. Paul is actually dead, and if you play this tape backwards, you'll hear all the backmasking that we put in here with signals, subliminal. That is a tough word to get out, and I've tried this take like seven different times. I can't do it, so I'm not going to try it again. But those messages, they're backwards, and if you don't want to play the tape backwards, then just turn your phone around. But they're there, and we buried Paul. You see, he was run over by his dough quarter. Anyway, gang, we've got a lot of nonsense in store, your film reviews, and a lot of stuff. So let's get on with Paul's best tape ever, and we're going to have some fun.
Trust me.
Yeah, this is Virgil, your erstwhile eclectic movie reporter from Van Nuys. Pick of the week would be Who's Singing Over There? It's really funny, and I recommend highly that you see it. I don't have time to give a complete review. I also think you should see The Killing Fields, another superb motion picture. It really makes Apocalypse Now and The Deer Hunter look like picnics. Other important films that I recommend are Cal, Falling in Love, I Even Met Happy Gypsies, Missing in Action, Razor Black, Razorback, and Supergirl. I also recently saw The Right Stuff, and I finally found out from that film why Russian cowboys can ride horses at night, because they've got satellites. I also found out that if athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get? Well, the obvious answer is mistletoe.
Did you ever wonder what it would be like to be one of the last people on Earth?
There's nobody. I mean, there's nobody.
Our new civilization is on us.
Hey, I'm sorry if the end of the world makes me a little nervous.
It's the Night of the Comet. The comet is coming into your orbit.
Yeah!
Night of the Comet.
Rated PG-13 from Atlantic Releasing.
And you can see Night of the Comet playing at the Avco Center Cinema in Westwood. For information there, call 475-0711. Also in Hollywood at Pacific Cinerama Dome, 466-3401. Call them for information there. It's also playing at 10 trillion other theaters throughout the country, but pick one close to you and find the number yourself.
Dave Burbank, when you gave out my telephone number, you gave out the wrong number. Yes, you did. You gave out the number for the Calcom Time Information Service at 853-8500. As you know, there's also the comment line at 853-8500. So call those two numbers in the Calcom network. Well, there's three numbers in the Calcom network. There's 853-8500 for input and output, 853-8500 for the time, and 853-8500, which will tell you to go back to 853-8500. But until then, this is Richie Calcom saying goodbye.
This is Lee Stecklinger's best friend, and it's great talking to a comment line again after a long absence. I say it's pretty refreshing. But before I go to my review, I'd like to say I really enjoyed that Halloween special Paul Mack put on. You know, that ripoff from the Thriller video? I'd have to say, Paul, I really misjudge you. You're pretty talented. Anyway, I went to see Nightmare on Elm Street. If you're into horror movies like Phantasm and Halloween and stuff like that, you'll like it. I'd call it a great movie to see with that special someone like the fuck. I mean, the special effects are great. Girls really get scared. So, Cindy, if you're listening, maybe you'd like to see it with me. And if you know you get scared, maybe if you're a good girl, we can get it on in my truck. And I'll let you bite my shorts. What do you say? Anyway, on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd give the movie an 8. There's a lot of shock value, and if a girl went out to see it with me, the biggest shock of the night would be my big cock tearing through my pants. I guess Mac Jackson said best when he said the immortal words of, "Oops, cheap Levi's."
Well, gang, in the immortal words of Mac Jackson, we were, what the heck were the immortal words? You know, Paul and I were working on Mac Jackson's Diller for about the last 5.5 years. You know, we've been working on Diller since long before Thriller even came out. I mean, we planned on doing a spoof on Michael Jackson's video before Michael Jackson did the video. But now that Mac Jackson's Diller is done and it's secondary and you've all heard it, you know, on the movie line and feedback and DBS and all the good lines around and telephone and like that, you know, now that everybody's heard it and Paul and I are now currently working on the video project, we happen to be doing some editing, and we just for the fun of it, we played some of Diller backwards to see if we could find any back masking and see if we could come up with, and you'd be surprised, boy, we found some real satanic nonsense in there, and I'm going to play a bit of it for you, what Paul and I did find when we played this backwards, and well, here, you judge for yourself. This is what we found backwards actually explains the whole purpose of why we did Diller, and well, you judge for yourself. Here, I'm going to play a bit for you now. You see, there you got it. Backwards, Diller, really silly. I mean, Falwell probably would have had a great time with that. But that was not the best part. The best part is right here. Here, listen to this one.
So that one is too big, silly.
You see, wasn't that great? You're very silly. I mean, that was the whole point of it. I mean, you want to hear that one again? Let's try that one again. Let's wind that back a bit. Play this. Here we go.
It's too big, silly.
Very silly. That was the whole point behind it. Aren't you glad you stuck through for that? Anyway, gang, let's get on with this.
Okay, Ross, what movie should we see?
There's Breakdown, the new breakdance tragedy.
No.
Breakquake, the new breakdance disaster film.
No.
Bloodbreak, the new breakdance horror film.
No. Isn't there anything different?
No Small Affair.
No Small Affair. That's the comedy about the 16-year-old oddball photographer with a half-crazed mother and a brother in heat who gets it on for the first time with a 22-year-old rock singer.
Arnold Leindozer saw it 4 times.
Arnold Leindozer, the captain of the ceramics team?
Uh-huh.
He's a total spaz case. He's got that obnoxious laugh.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Arnold.
And you know Betty Sue Ann Beth?
The head cheerleader?
Arnold just took me to No Small Affair. He's got wonderful taste.
Aww.
And the cutest giggle.
Giggle? Yeah, well, we were just on our way to see No Small Affair. Right, Ross?
Yep.
As soon as we unload the kiln.
Columbia Pictures presents No Small Affair, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent.
And absolutely no one will be admitted without apparent reason. You're also not going to be admitted unless I tell you where the heck this film is playing, gang. You can see No Small Affair in Westwood at the Avco Center Cinema. Information for showtimes there is 475-0711. It's also playing in Hollywood at the Man Vogue, 462-6621 for information there. And for you soap opera buffs, you'd be interested to know that Demi Moore, who played Jackie on General Hospital, one-time girlfriend of Luke and one-time girlfriend of Scorpio, and who the heck else knows whoever she was sleeping with. But Demi Moore, who played Jackie on General Hospital, is the star of No Small Affair, the comedy with the big heart. Anyway, gang, we've got a ton of movie line input coming up just for you, and in a few moments, I'm going to ask you a few trivia questions, and if you can be the first one to answer all 4 questions right for next week's program, Paul Mack is going to give you a 1985, that's right, a brand new 1985 Rolls Royce. And if he runs out of those, you may end up with a solar-powered calculator. But let's get off of me and get on to you right here on the movie line for some more film-listed fun.
return callers. Bert, Party Line here. Have a couple movie reviews for you. I've seen a few movies in the last week or two. First one that I saw, which I liked, is called Farlap, and I don't know if that's still out anymore, but you never know when it might turn up if it isn't. Anyway, it's a movie that I liked because it was made, to me, seemed, the way movies used to be. It was very cliche. It was very standard. You had scenes with a girl or a guy in a train, you know, riding away, and the girl waiting there waving or something like that. Things like this. And it was similar to a Rocky kind of movie. But it was just so simple, and the story was good, that I thought it turned out pretty well and was pretty fun. Second movie I saw was called A Soldier's Story. And this movie had been hyped up a lot, as far as I had heard. I was really expecting a lot from it. And I was a little bit disappointed. I didn't think it was fantastic. I thought the acting was good, and the story was good, and the movie was, therefore, good, but certainly not great. Finally, I saw Night of the Comet the other night, and I really enjoyed it. It's not an incredible movie, of course, but I thought some of the jokes that they made about L.A. and things like that, and also the scenery was really neat. The cinematography was great. You don't look at that kind of movie and say, well, wait a second, there's problems here. How could that have happened? You know, why is this the way it is? But you just go along with it and enjoy it, and I did. Anyway, so those are a few movies from my view. By the way, you can call the Party Line over here in the 213 area code at 213-205-7980 for output. And 213-205-7985 for input. And by the way, Movie Line callers, to clear up some confusion, this number is a local call for some people in the Valley. If you live in, for example, North Hollywood or Studio City or Encino or Sherman Oaks or anywhere around there, right around there, you can call it and it won't cost you a cent. And if you live a little bit farther, it'll cost you a few cents, but you might just enjoy it, so give it a call.
Are you out of your mind?
Hello, this is Mark North Hollywood, sometimes known as Mark North Hollywood Jr. to all you comment conference callers. Well, anyway, I'm going to talk about a movie that I called in about over the summer called Supergirl, which I saw in Australia. I saw it for a second time the other night. It was terrible. I don't know why it was so different. First time was okay, but this time it was terrible. Well, that's about it. Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
Wonderful. Hello, Mr. Mac. It's Mr. Fun. I say Mr. Mac, that is, unless, of course, you've got another dumbass guest host this week. I wanted to leave some input for your last week tape. Sorry, Dave, but I didn't want to talk with my mouth full of cranberry sauce, so here I am. I guess it's better late than Calcoms, huh? Seriously, Dave, you did a semi-wonderful job sitting in for Paul, who, as you all know, developed laryngitis while doing the vocals on Diller as I sat casually by sucking back a few cartons of cigarettes inside the studio. Anyway, as you know, I love movies, but lately I see movies about as much as you vote, Paul. However, while digesting my Thanksgiving feast, I took in 5 movies over last weekend's holiday via my VCR. I saw Purple Rain, a great performance by Prince with a brilliant supporting cast and a fine photography and music. However, having played the club circuit myself, I found a few of the scenes to be a bit unbelievable, i.e. when Prince performed the title song without ever having rehearsed it with the rest of the band. I thought that was kind of bizarre. However, it was entertaining, and I'd give it an E for I also saw Christine, a fine Stephen King thriller done well by John Carpenter, however not as nerve-wracking as The Shining or The Dead Zone. I'd give Christine a B for Baby, You Can Drive My Car. Third on the Thanksgiving video marathon was The Lonely Guy with Steve, used to be pretty funny, Martin. So far, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid was the only Martin film worthy of dubbing onto a bootleg tape. Lonely Guy was a good try at times, but having to sit through 45 minutes before being rewarded with a laugh is sort of like eating half a pumpkin pie without whipped cream. On the A to Z scale, I give Lonely Guy a K for Keep Trying, Steve. Then I had the pleasure and displeasure of viewing Francis Ford Coppola's Rumblefish. I still don't know if I liked or disliked this film. Coppola has yet to do a film that really grabbed me, including The Godfather and A Piece of Shit Now. However, while one eye was glued to Rumblefish, the other eye was on the tape counter and my watch. So I'd have to give Rumblefish an H for, And lastly, my favorite of the five, and probably the most enjoyable film I've seen in a while, was Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, a brilliant blend of animation and puppetry with a simple yet brilliant story. The Henson magic was unrivaled by his previous Muppet films, and I like this one so much, I watched it again and again. Dark Crystal gets an M for magical, mystical Muppetry, a must-see for children of all ages, including you, Paul. I also did take in Testament, which was on Channel 28 this last week, and I haven't cried so much at a movie since Lassie Come Home. Anyway, gang, I see the movie line meter has run out on me, so until that time, Eustace, until that time, this has been Mr. Fun. Thank you, bye.
Who the hell let that guy in here? Anyway, gang, we've got something real important coming up, so grab your pencils, grab your pens, grab your crayons, because here we go with some more movie line trivia. You know, Paul's been giving away an awful lot of those solar-powered calculators lately, and I think it's because he makes his trivia questions too easy. Well, I've noticed his wallet is getting a little thin, so I dug deep into the depths of movie trivia, and I found four real tough questions. And if you're the first person to get all four of these questions right on next week's movie line tape, well, then Paul will give you a solar-powered calculator. No, I'm sorry, he plumb ran out of the 1985 Rolls-Royces. But anyway, here we go with the trivia questions. Be on your toes, because you're really going to have to like movies to get this one. Anyway, here we go. The first question: in the classic film The Wizard of Oz, who originally played the Tin Man until he developed such a severe allergy to the body paint that he had to be canned and replaced by Jack Haley? Question number two: what do the films The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Poltergeist have in common? Question number three: the classic western The Magnificent Seven, starring Steve McQueen, was an American version of what Japanese film? And lastly, what was the title of Ronald Reagan's last film in which he starred with Angie Dickinson and Lee Marvin? Well, Paul, I tried. I hope this will keep your solar-powered calculators to yourself for this week. But if, by chance, there is a movie line caller out there who can get all four of these questions right and be the first one to get them right on next week's show, you will win that solar-powered doohickey, because Paul will give it to you. He's a pretty generous guy when it comes to that. Anyway, gang, let's get on with some more movie line comments, some more movie line nonsense, and some more movie line stuff.
Jessica Lange is Jewel Ivy.
This is our land. You can't just pull in here like God Almighty.
You're already implicated in this thing.
Well, I'd rather be a thief than do what you do for a living.
Sam Shepard is Gil Ivy.
You can't look on this thing short term.
Farming is a business.
You college boys with your numbers, that's who made it a business.
Country is the story of a family willing to fight the government to hold onto the land they love. Willing to fight the bureaucrats from auctioning off everything they own.
We're not going to sell the land. They wouldn't make us do that, would they, Gil?
In this country, when the land is your life, you fight for your life.
They don't have to sell these people out.
No sales! No sales!
You must realize that a government foreclosure is a legal act.
When you come out to pull us off this land, you better come with more than a piece of paper, because we're staying right here!
Country, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Hey, you just stamped my hand.
That's so if you go out, you can come back in again.
Paul, are you by the phone by chance? No, okay, I figured not. I heard your tape for this week, and what is it about stolen ideas, or what? Are you referring to my tape this week? Yes, there were stolen ideas on there. The opening music was Brian Feedback's closing theme. I told you I'd use the cuts that you use, okay? What's so bad about that? I don't know where stolen ideas... Yes, there were two ideas that I did take from the past, because there was two ideas that I did take from, because I thought they were funny. I thought they'd be, you know, I thought they would be kind of fun to use out here. But if you think there's any stolen ideas in the tape that I have on this week, yeah, because I know what it's like to have tape wasted. So what? I mean, your material's original. It sounds good out here. The people like it out here. I mean, what? I don't see. My comments are totally Brian Feedback's. So, you know, I mean, I think I'm entitled to steal the Chicken Man thing from Brian Feedback. I just barged in and started playing Chicken Man, you know. Chicken Man and Tooth Fairy, okay? What I did was stolen. Anyway, I don't want to waste your time. If you want to discuss this with me, why don't you listen to Rick Dees in the morning? I mean, God, But if you hear me playing a network cut that sounds familiar to you...
Oh, my God, it's a stolen idea!
That's funny. I thought it was an original idea of mine.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was just thinking about the movie line. It was not long ago that I heard the tape, and it was great, man. You know, the one that Jay Burbank did, which was fun. And now that Nino is going to do it, it's going to be even more fun because it's going to be telephone on the movie line, and I think that's great. And this is Casey Alito with an accent.
Well, good afternoon, movie line callers. This is Jim Corvine talking to you all the way down here in Orange County. This afternoon, I want to present a few movies for your Christmas enjoyment. First of all, we have Dune, which is coming out in December. Probably around the 21st, along with 2010. Now, I will be going to see a studio preview of 2010, December 4th, and I'll let you guys know how that was. Comedy is coming out. Johnny Dangerously is coming out with Joe Piscopo and Don DeLuise and a pretty good all-star cast there. Saw the previews for it. Looks like it's a very good movie. Catch that one if you can. And there's one coming out for those of you who are into the Talking Heads. No, that's the name of a group. Okay, this isn't an occupation or anything like that. The movie is called Making No Sense or something on that line. I've only seen the preview once for it, and I don't know. I suppose it's supposed to be one of those concert movies. And unless you're into the Talking Heads, or if you're into talking to your heads, why then, yes, even in the bathroom. I wouldn't advise going to see it, at least not from the previews that they've shown. I haven't seen anything really exciting except for Oh God, You Devil, which I am currently running right now. Stars George Burns and George Burns, playing both God and the Devil. For those of you who haven't seen it, I would suggest taking the time to sit down and watch it. It's a pretty good movie. Supergirl. It's all right. The kids might love it. As far as the girls are concerned, well, there's a few good one-liners in there that you'll enjoy as well. Places in the Heart. This one stars Sally Field. And does, as usual, an excellent, excellent job. This is set around the 1920s, 1930s. Anyway, slavery was still in effect there, so there's some time... yeah, it had to have been around 20s or 30s. I don't know. I'm not a historian there, so... Take care, and don't forget, this is the holiday season. Please be careful when you're out driving, and... Don't forget to set cookies and milk out for Santa. Talk to y'all later.
Hello, this is Mickey's pal. I'm calling to leave a review on a movie I recently watched on TV, but was released in theaters last year. I'm talking about Testament, which aired on Channel 28 on Monday night at 9 o'clock. It starred Jane Alexander, and William Devane had an appearance in it. But what really got me was not the actors' portrayal of their characters, but just the overall message that it brought across. It takes place in the wake of a nuclear holocaust. And unlike The Day After, which dealt with more of the graphic results of nuclear war, Testament dealt with the human emotion, which is really what nuclear war should be dealt with, more than what it's going to do to you physically and visually. They dealt with what it does to you emotionally. And I just thought it was just really such a great film. I am appalled with the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for giving Shirley MacLaine the award for Best Actress over Jane Alexander, who was nominated for Best Actress from her role in this picture. Because I thought that Gene Alexander did such a... Oh, God, such a superior job over Shirley MacLaine. I saw Shirley MacLaine in Terms of Endearment, and she was very good. But she definitely, over Gene Alexander, did not deserve that award. Gene Alexander was a real heart-tugger in this role, and I thought the film was excellent. And if you get the chance to see it, I know it's out on videotape. See it. By all means, see this movie. It is a 10.5. It is a 5-star picture. It is just excellent. And it's just, it leaves you with such a feeling of compassion towards the world. It really opens your eyes to how wonderful this planet really is, and I think that's what a movie should do. So go see it by all means.
Well, Mickey's pal, I really got to agree with you on that one. Jane Alexander in Testament, she was superb. And although Shirley MacLaine was great in Terms of Endearment, I think Jane Alexander really did deserve the Best Actress Award for that. Real tearjerker, a very fine, fine performance. But then again, I'm still ticked off at the Academy for giving the Best Actor Award to Marlon Brando for his mealy-mouthed portrayal in The Godfather over Peter O'Toole for his performance in The Ruling Class. If any of you have ever seen The Ruling Class, I think Peter O'Toole's performance in that was the best I've seen by any actor in any film anywhere. I'm also kind of ticked off that Midnight Cowboy got the Best Picture Award over probably my favorite movie. In fact, it is my favorite movie of all time. The best movie ever made, I think, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which really deserved the Best Picture Award for that. Anyway, gang, this is going to close out Paul Mack's Best Movie Line Tape ever. And some numbers I'm sure he'd like you to call when you're through listening to this would be, first of all, the Movie Line input number at 761-0333. Call up there and leave your film reviews. You can also hear this output tape on the West Valley number at 906-3000, or right here where you are right now, 761-3330. There's also the clothesline out in Orange County, 714-898-4851, and the brand new clothesline conference at 714-551-6400. There's Observatory in Canoga Park at 716-9242 for input and 702-0429 for output. And then there's, of course, the best line around, my favorite line anywhere. That's Telefun out in Chatsworth, 882-9524 in the 818 area code. Real fine line and a real fine host that runs the line out there. But then they are running reruns right now because Mr. Fun has been over here doing the movie line tape for the last 3 years, putting this one together. So they are having reruns runs out there. But 882-9524, call that one, call it now. In fact, if you call tonight, Sunday or Monday, you can hear Paul Mack, who hosted the Telefun tape from a few months ago. But anyway, gang, I've got my own trivia questions for you. I've got 5 questions for you. If you can answer all 5 of them right and be the first one to do it on Paul's input number, then Mr. Fun himself is going to give you a special gift. And those questions are, I played 5 themes from movies and Broadway hits on this week's tape, and if you can tell me all 5 of the movies and Broadway shows that these songs were from, then yes, I will give you a personal gift from the Telefun branch out in Chatsworth. But anyway, gang, that's going to do it for me. I've had a real good time doing this, but then again, I enjoy riding around Burbank with my mouth over the exhaust pipe of a bus. So anyway, gang, if you've missed any portion of this program, please stay on the line, because it will repeat over and over and over again. This has been Mr. Fun. Thank you. Bye.